Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you. It's great to be here in Eastleigh. This is my first visit to Eastleigh for 6 months, and it's great to be here. I've counted up that I've preached about 25 times in my dining room at home, but I'd much rather be here, and I'd much rather have people here as well. But the three of us are glad to be here, and we look forward to dreaming of that day when we will be together again. Just a few other things to say. I've been very busy over the last few months writing for Premier. You know, I do work with Premier Radio, and you know that they produce one of these booklets that I often bring along called Voice of Hope, and I've been commissioned to write the Bible notes for this, which has been a lovely discipline. And a lot of work over the last few months. And this week, a whole box of these arrived at home. So they've been printed, 35,000. No, 35,000 didn't all arrive at our house, mercifully. But 35,000 have been printed and will be distributed. And if you think that might be helpful to you, just go on the Premier website, Voice of Hope, free copy, I think it's called, and they will send you a free copy of these Bible notes, which are sort of due to begin at the beginning of October and will be broadcast every weekday from October the 1st on. I'm very struck, I'm sure you know it, I'm sure all of us, to do please support us and reflect together for and support and encourage your leaders in the fantastic job that they do. Well, it's great to be looking at Job, and I'm so grateful to Chris for the work he's done to prepare us for this series. I loved his sermon 2 weeks ago, in which he reminded us that if we're looking for simple answers to the problem of suffering, postcard answers to the difficulties that we face, we're going to be disappointed. And Job doesn't attempt it. Job really helps us to engage with the difficulty of the subject of suffering. We have big questions. Job had big questions those thousands of years ago, and we still have them. Why does a loving God allow suffering? What's he doing? What's it all about? As a church and as a nation, we're facing big questions. So Job is precisely the right book for us to look at. I have said to you before, and I'll say it again, never just look in the Bible for the easy passages. We can string together a dozen fantastic verses which remind us that God loves us and that we're great and he'll always stand by us and it'll all go well and all the rest of it. And all those verses are in the Bible, it's great, but there are also tough parts of the Bible and we need to get into them as well, and they'll help us to mature and to strengthen our faith and our understanding of God. 1 year. There are different ways. Faith in a great God. That's my first point. He didn't understand what was going on, and I'm sure he listened to Bildad and tried to work out, you know, well, how did that fit? But his response shows that he's confident in God. He's confident in the way God works. Yes, things are difficult, but he knows that God's a great God, and he uses the language of the court. And he says, well, if you come to court with your case against God, you're going to lose, because God is a great God and God is a just God. God will always win his case. In verse 4, he says this, and just remind ourselves, Job is really suffering, but this is what he thinks of God. He says, his wisdom is profound. His power is vast. Who has resisted him and come out unscathed? He moves mountains without their knowing it and overturns them in his anger. He alone stretches out the heavens and treads on the waves of the sea. Amidst all his struggles, Job affirms that God is a great God, that God is in control. And I want to say this to you. The way in which you handle COVID and the challenges we're facing at the moment, which are immense and totally new to us and there is real fear around because we don't know what the future holds and all of that. The way in which you face this crisis will be determined by your understanding of God, by your understanding of who God is and what he is like. Job faced his crisis knowing that God was all wise and totally strong. He was confident of God. A friend of mine, David Potter, who was actually the person who founded Prospects. You remember the charity for people with learning disabilities that I used to work with until it came to an end and was absorbed by Livability. But David Potter's a great writer, and he's written this book about Job, which is why I'm showing it to you. And it's entitled, Is Your God Too Small? And really what David is saying, and he wrote this just a couple of years ago, he's saying that as we read this amazing book, it challenges us to think more deeply about God. It's very easy for us to have too small a picture of God. We talk, and rightly, about God being our friend, and that's great. But he's not like the person down the road. He's not like our next-door neighbor. He is more present to us than them. He is closer to us than even our closest friend. I get all of that. But he's a very, very special friend. He is the maker of heaven and earth. When we come into the presence of God, we need to gasp. We need to gasp because he is so great. He's the God of creation, the God who accompanies us on this weird journey through COVID, is the maker of heaven and earth. Because I have to write these Bible notes months in advance, I'm actually working on March at the moment, but the February notes, I was looking at the greatness of God, and I reflected, and I know I've done this with you before, but I reflected on the amazing scale of this work of creation that God has brought about. I'd love to go on a worship journey with you for a moment, please. This is the God whom we're worshiping today. This is the God who's with us as we travel through COVID. A little bit of technicality. I don't understand almost anything about astronomy. So for me, this is just amazing. And it blows my mind, but I'd love to blow your mind as well, because then we can really worship, okay? Light travels, you know this, at 186,282 miles per second. My car is fast, but not as fast as that. 186,282 miles per second. That's really, really fast. Okay, but we've got, on this worship journey, we've got to go at that speed. That's what God has made. Okay, let's get going on this journey. After a minute, this is really encouraging, we will have travelled 11 million miles. That's a long distance. By the end of the day, we'll be exhausted, but we will have travelled 16,000 million miles. This is incredible, isn't it? But keep going. We've just started the journey. You're probably ready for a cup of tea, but we haven't got time for that, I tell you. After a year, travelling at the same speed, we will have travelled nearly 6 million miles. That's good going, but don't take a break, because we've got three more years at that same speed before we reach the first star. Wow! No doubt we would feel a great sense of achievement. We'd want to have a flag. Put up a flag because we'd done that journey and reached a star. But don't get too cocky, because we've got, at the same speed, another 20,000 years to go to get to the end of our galaxy. Isn't that incredible? I find this totally amazing. But even when we get to the end of our galaxy, we'll be really old, clearly. But I just want you to realise that our galaxy is one of 2 million other galaxies. All I want you to do on this worship journey is to go, wow, with me. Wow, that is incredible. The reason I'm telling you this is not to boggle your minds, though I've probably succeeded. What I want you to know is that is our great God. That's the God of creation whom we worship today. Yes, he is our friend. Yes, he is intimately close to us, but he's the God of that incredible universe in which he has placed us. Job was going through terrible suffering, but he knew his great God, and he knew his God with whom he was struggling terribly, and we come on to that in a moment. He knew that that great God was still powerful and wise and loving and compassionate. And so when we come to chapter 19, verse 25, we're not surprised that he's able to say, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth, and after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Isn't that fantastic? Amidst the crisis, amidst the struggle, he knows that his great God, the Creator God, will be with him, his strong God. So amidst the struggle, terrible as life had become for Job, having lost his family, having lost all his possessions, having lost his health, he is confident in his great God. Point one. Here's point two. Job had a brutally honest relationship with his God. When I wrote this sermon, I did hesitate over the word brutally, but then realized it's absolutely faithful to what I read in Job. It's a brutally honest relationship with God. He's in despair, and he tells God exactly how it is. He is in despair. He wishes he'd never been born, all those things. He thought he'd reached the end of the road. He felt everything was hopeless. In our chapter, which Mike read for us, verse 30, he says, even if I wash myself with soap and my hands with washing soda, you would plunge me into a slime pit so that even my clothes would detest me. It feels as if everything is going wrong. Beginning of chapter 10, he says, I loathe my very life. Therefore, I will give free rein to my complaint. He's holding nothing back. And I will speak out in the bitterness of my soul. I will say to God, do not condemn me, but tell me what charges you have against me. Does it please you to oppress me, he says to God, to spurn the work of your hands while you smile on the schemes of the wicked? He's not in a good place. He is struggling. He feels that the whole of life has collapsed around him. That's how he feels. But let me tell you this. Every good relationship depends on honesty. Well, he ticks that one, doesn't he? Isn't it? So many of us to use in corporate worship because they're so... He complains against where you are today. I mean, let me be honest. I've never felt how Job feels here. I've never personally felt that God had abandoned me. But you may have, and clearly many people do feel that. What I'm saying is we need to be honest. We need to be the people we are. We just need to say, God, this is me. In a few moments, we'll come to the Lord's table. And I'm so excited to be able to lead you to the table, because that supremely must be the place where we come to God with honesty and saying, Lord, this is me today. I'm worried about COVID, if you are. I'm concerned about my job, concerned about my family, concerned about my elderly relatives, concerned about the future for this country, concerned about the future of the world, concerned about those countries where COVID is even more rampant than it is in this country. There is much to worry about. And as we come to God today, please let us be honest. We're coming to a great God. Don't lose that astronomical stuff that we went through. This incredible world in which God has placed us. We're worshipping the God of creation. We're worshipping the one who comes to us and enfolds us in his arms of love. who cares about us, who knows every detail of our lives, who knows exactly what's going on. So, my friends, two things. Through it all, Job was confident that God was worthy of his trust. Even though he struggles with him, he knows God is true. Secondly, he's absolutely honest. He tells God how it is.